Hello, everyone. It's Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. You've seen these crazy lenses that pop onto your smartphone, and today we're going to cover one of the better of them. Stay tuned. You'll enjoy this one.
He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor. Gadget Professor.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. We're on episode 199. Next week is the big 200. We'll have something special for you. I'm still not sure what, but welcome, everyone, to the Gadget Professor Show. Of course, my name is Don Bain, and I'd like to welcome everyone here. We are ramping up very rapidly for NAB. As you may or may not know, I've been honored and invited back to NAB. I'm actually going to do two separate broadcasts from NAB, which runs November 11th through November 16th. The first broadcast will be for the first 2 hours each morning of NAB, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I believe Thursday. I will be actually doing a live stream broadcast from the showroom floor, right from the NAB booth, if you will, which is in the South Hall, right next to the attendee, where you actually sign in to register if you're going to be attending NAB. So it's a real cool broadcast booth, and I will be doing a new interview every 15 minutes there with some new technology, stuff that I may not or may know something about. If not, I'll learn as I interview, and that's always a lot of fun, and it's fast-moving. Because, as I said, it's every 15 minutes. So I will have the URL posted actually right before NAB. I'm going to actually embed that post, that link, if you will, for the live broadcast. And you'll be able to watch the whole program from NAB right on our website, thegadgetprofessor.com. So stay tuned for that. And then the second broadcast will actually start at 1 o'clock till, I think, 4 o'clock. For a company called Data Video, and they are actually helping us sponsor this show, and they're wonderful people, and they make some really exciting products, and I know a lot of you out there aren't specifically into video production, but a lot of you are, and I just put out a press release yesterday. It's on our webpage. It's about Data Video and the SC700 digital video switcher, and I have actually seen this and operated it, and I am blown away by it. And this actually is a 4-input, either HD or SDI input digital video switcher that does quite a few things: chroma key, luma key. It has DSKs, picture-in-picture, wipe generator, frame store, so on and so forth, and will actually run off a PC tablet. So this is going to, I think, revolutionize the industry, both in terms of functionality, portability, and the cost is extremely reasonable for this item. So you'll hear a lot more about this Data Video SE700 in the coming weeks for sure. But we did get that news release out last night, and I'm pretty proud of that. Also, if you know of someone or you have a company and you want to be interviewed by me at NAB, now's a good time to contact me. Actually, they're filling up pretty quick, the spots. So all you have to do is just email me at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com, thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. And if you're interested in being interviewed, just in the headline, the subject matter of your email, just say interview NAB, and I or someone will get right back to you and try to sign you up. And these are some photographs that are on our website that show some of the other interviews that we've done at NAB and CES. I remember doing this one here with the tennis racket. That was a cool racket. It was an electronic tennis racket. And every time you hit the ball, it actually measured your swing, how much force you had, the arc that you had, all kinds of things that you were doing, and it actually gave you a curve on the computer. Quite fascinating how they were able to do that and make the entire swing of your racket electronic to be able to train you how to do better. So that's really cool. And, of course, if you scroll down, you'll see our regular broadcast. We're now going to be up to 199. This was the 198. Also, I should just point out while I'm on the page, if you want to subscribe to the show notes, that will be on the right-hand side. And if you see important pages, just click the newsletter button. And when you do that, put your email address in every Thursday evening As soon as the Gadget Professor episode is posted, you will receive absolutely free in your email box all the show notes. And the show notes really describe each and everything that we talk about on each episode. And it's a very handy thing to have so you don't have to take notes. Also, we have our Facebook page, and I post a lot of photos, and I'll be posting frequently at NAB, so you can really see what the new technology is. But certainly check us out on Facebook. That would be Facebook.com/TheGadgetProfessor. And then, of course, last but not least, certainly not least, is my Rebel Mouse page, which is Rebel Mouse.com/GadgetProfessor. This is all in the show notes. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @GadgetProfessor. And I tweet hundreds of times a day, and literally any new gadgets that's out there, if you want to see what it looks like, I tweet about it. But also, if you go to the Rebel Mouse page /GadgetProfessor, you will actually see everything that's new within the last 15 or 20 minutes. This is a dynamic website that changes constantly, so you can go to this several times a day. And if you see a gadget or some new contraption that looks kind of cool, all you got to do is click on it, and it will give you the latest and greatest information. So that's also pretty cool. All right, now today's show is going to be kind of an internet safety show, not only for you, but if you have any kids that have smartphones, you'll want to watch this episode. I have centered in on three pieces of software that you may want to take a look and see if your kids have these apps on their smartphone. I don't care whether you have the iOS, the Apple system, you know, your Apple or your iPhone, or you have a Droid. I don't really care what kind of smartphone the kids have, but I'm going to tell you, show you some software apps that if the kids have them, you need to have a discussion with them, and you need to keep track of what they're doing with them and why they have them, because they can get into trouble real quick unbeknownst to them, or sometime they know that they're getting into trouble, and you definitely as a parent want to monitor that. So speaking of monitoring, let's start off today with some software that I've mentioned many times, and I keep getting emails. Internet Explorer is going away. That was announced all over the tech news in the last week constantly. Internet Explorer for Microsoft is gone. They're not supporting it anymore. They're not making it anymore. So we can forget about that. But what browser do you use? I myself use Chrome. I will use Mozilla. I don't typically use Safari, but those three browsers seem to be the king of the hill these days. But all those browsers do track where you search and where you go. I'm just telling you that point blank. If you want to keep totally anonymous as you can keep, then there's a search engine called DuckDuckGo, and that reportedly will keep your searches confidential. Now, that said, if a government, whoever that government may be, wants to track on what you're searching and they really want to seek you out, this will not protect you. But for most other things, this will protect you. So you may find that give DuckDuckGo a go and see how you like it. But it's very easy to use. It's the same thing as any other browser, search engine, if you will, and browser. It's just very easy. Next thing that we want to talk about is your email. And a lot of people, particularly with the Hillary Clinton incidents and other incidents that have arisen over the last week or two, people are starting to wonder, should I encrypt my email? Well, the answer depends upon what it is that you're writing, how sensitive the information is. In any event, if you want to encrypt your email, it's not that involved, and there are many free pieces of software out there that will do that. One of the better articles that I've come across is put out by Lifehacker, and it's simply called How to Encrypt Your Email. Most emails, messages that you send travel vast distances over many networks, secure and insecure, monitored and unmonitored, passing through and making copies of themselves on servers all over the internet. In short, pretty much anyone with access to any one of those servers or sniffing packets anywhere along that chain, anywhere along that line, can read your email messages sent in plain text. So now more than ever, you may want to encrypt your email and protect it from prying eyes. And this actually shows you and tells you how to do it and what softwares to use. One of them is called PGP, which stands for Pretty Good Privacy. And it talks about how you do that. And Pretty Good Privacy, which happens to be free, that software will protect you against the focused attention of a major government, but it will stop. It won't. Let's try that again. It won't protect you from focus from a major government. As I said, if the government wants to get to your computer and your information, they will do it. I promise you, they will. But for the most part, if you want to keep routine hackers from harvesting your credit card information that can be used to commit identity theft, emailing encrypted emails is probably what you want to do. So PGP is one of them, and there are several other email software programs that you can use for encryption. And if you're interested in finding out how to do that, let's say you're using even Thunderbird as your email delivery system, it tells you how to do that and suggests a few different types of email encryption softwares or mechanisms that you may want to use. So check that out. Now, if you really want to be, extra vigilant about keeping your data secure, you may want to check into a service called Blur. And what this does is it's going to keep your payments, your passwords, and your privacy in the forefront. And Blur is an all-in-one solution for managing your online life, protecting your private information. With smart tools and fast minimal interface, Blur keeps your accounts organized and lets you decide who gets your private information and who doesn't. It's going to secure your passwords. It will easily generate strong passwords for you. It will sync your passwords across all devices and fill in the spaces automatically once you log into to Blur. And Blur is designed to integrate seamlessly into your online life. Its features appear when you need them. It will mask your email. If you don't want to give out a website or your email address, Blur will let you use an anonymous one. And as you can see here, there's a lot of things to choose from. You can forward, you can block, all kinds of things. You can generate private emails. So this is a very cool site to check out. It will also protect your credit cards. With masked cards, you can create a new credit card number for every single purchase. And that's a great idea. And it shows here the different charges that someone has made, and each one has a different credit card number because this actually generates one and interconnects with your current credit card electronically. So this is something to really check out. It will block hidden traffickers, stop secret data collection. It autofills out forms, again, based on a security, and it will sync across all devices. Now, this does cost money. It's not totally free, but it's not that expensive. I believe it's like $30 a year or something like that. Let's see here if I can find it quickly. It does a lot of things here. It doesn't say what the cost is to go. Oh, here it is. It's $59 for 2 years and $39 per year. $79 for 3 years. That's only $2.20 a month. Might be worth it. Might be worth it. Next, this is a site that's been around forever, and this is called the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation is basically a service, a foundation that's dedicated to ensuring privacy and encryption and protecting your rights, your data on the internet. And you can actually go to this site, it's free, and it will tell you about all the legal cases that are going on, how people have been hacked, what to do to encrypt your machine, what to do to surf safely, and it's quite robust, to say the least. Bloggers' rights, coders' rights, free speech weak links, anything that's going to get you in trouble, medical payment policies, open wireless movement, patent busting, student activism, surveilling, self-defense, on and on and on, teaching copyright. So you may want to check this out or use this as a reference for what you're doing on the internet. It's very robust, as I said, and it's very accurate, like up to the minute. So if you're ever not sure about something or want to find out how to do something, they have a search button here so you can search whatever the topic is that you want, and it's a very good resource, and I do use it a lot myself. All right, now I need to emphasize that the next three apps, and their apps are for smartphones. and you probably don't know they even exist because you're not hip. Now, if you're a teenager watching the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about, or even in your 20s or younger. These are sites, not sites, these are apps that are invented and put out for free and go viral real quick, and all the kids jump on them. They're real cool, they're real hip, and basically all these sites are going to let you find out where your friends are at, where the parties are at, where the action is at, and many times where you're going to get in trouble at. So if your children have any of these three apps, I would urge you, as the gadget professor, to have a discussion with your kids, ask them why they're using the apps. I'm not saying they're all bad, but I'm saying you can get in trouble with them, and if they're using them, you got to be real careful. And what I mean by real careful is there's people that solicit children, and children don't know that they're being solicited, and all kinds of very bad things that go on. And you also may want to just check on these apps and click them and see what your kids are writing and who they're writing to. If I had little kids, believe me, I would be doing this. The first one's called Yik Yak, and cool, clever name. But this, you'll get a live feed of what everyone's saying around you. Not only will you get a live feed of what everyone's saying around you because it connects to Google Maps and other maps, but you'll also get their cell phone numbers and where they can meet up and all kinds of things. So Yik Yak is definitely a potential troublemaker, and that's just my opinion. The next one is called Kick. This one is again, could be hazardous to everybody's health, but only Kick lets you connect with all your friends no matter where you meet them, at school, at your favorite social app, or in an online game, or just ask them, what's your Kick? And this will do pictures and all kinds of things. Join the conversation, looking for a new and engaging way to interact with your audience. Have amazing content and cool experience you'd love to get discovered. Kick offers brand and content providers a unique way to talk with their fans and find new followers, too. So use your imagination, folks. A mobile web platform. It tells you if you're a developer, you can also put your products and advertise on Kick. So, again, it's not necessarily a bad site, and I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that it's with kids, you got to watch what they do. Now, this last one I'm going to tell you point blank is trouble. It's called Whisper. I don't like it, and if you actually realize what it was doing, you wouldn't like it either. A lot of it is very sexual in nature. There have been known predators on this site, and it's not a good app for kids, children, to have, even your teenagers, even young adults. It's not the best app that's out there. So it's called Whisper, and I will have that in my show notes, and you can check it out and make your own decisions based on what you read and what you see. But I thought I'd at least bring this to my audience's attention, because a lot of times you don't know what the heck is on your kid's phone. So again, it's Whisper. It's called Kick, K-I-K, and Yik Yak. So just beware of that and check them out. And now I'd like to go to the gadget of the day, and if we can go to camera two, we'll take a look at the gadget of the day. And the gadget of the day is, I believe it's pronounced Zylus, or ZT, it's Z-T-Y-L-U-S. And essentially what it is they make different kits, that's the only way I can describe it, that will include a case for your iPhone or whatever phone you have, and a round disc, which you can see there, that actually connects to the case. And it will give you a 4-in-1 lens. So I know you've seen these on the internet, and I know you're wondering, do they work? Do they not work? Are they worth the money? So on and so forth. This particular brand, and there are many, 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 many brands out there, and the prices fluctuate from like $29 up to several hundred bucks. And they're all pretty much the same, and I'll get into that in a minute. But as you could see on the camera too, there's a round disc, and inside that disc, there are actually three lenses, which we'll go into detail in a minute. Prior to hooking that up, you need to buy the case, and I'll show you the case now right here. And essentially, the case has to fit on your phone, or you won't be able to mount the lenses, these lenses. So the case itself, I have an iPhone 6, and the case is okay. There's a couple things I do not like about it, but I'm picky. So basically, this slides off the bottom. and this essentially slides off the top. So what I have here is my iPhone, and now I have two pieces for this case. And in the back of the case here, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little disc that has a screw on it, and essentially this screw, and it's very wide so you can just turn it with your thumb, this screw right here, we'll take a close-up of camera too. So that thumb screw basically screws into the back of this case, and you'll see the eyelet right there. You can see the eyelet on the bottom. So the way this works is you slide the top straight down just like that, and then in the back you can probably see that there's a little screw there, or a hole there for the screw. You take the bottom piece and you're going to slide this in like so. I have to take the screw out to slide it in to make sure that it connects, which it does. And now I'll take this thumb screw and I'm just going to screw it in here so it holds the case in place. So there's basically two parts. So this is what it looks like. And now we'll go into detail, show you really up close what it looks like on camera two. So here's the front of the iPhone, which looks like an iPhone, and that's pretty much all you see. It doesn't change the face of the phone at all. On the back, it does change things. You'll see the eye screw, the eyelet screw, the thumb screw, thumbnail screw that I actually screwed in. And then you'll see a little kickstand running vertically. I'm sorry, horizontally. So I'm going to pop this out, and it does make a nice stand. So I can put the phone like so. Camera one. I can put the camera, the phone like so, because it has a little kickstand and it will just stand like that. So if you're watching a movie, that's kind of neat. So now the question is, how do I get this onto this? Well, essentially, this pops out and there's a little trigger button here that you just push in with your thumb. And you're going to turn this and it just comes right off the back of the phone. There's nothing fancy, very simple to do, and it's very solidly made. In all honesty, it is very solid. So you're not going to pull this off, and obviously you see you have a hole there. And basically, I'll try to let you see this on camera too. There's a red dot on the bottom here, and then there's a red dot on the bottom here. So I will hold this up front. You can see the dot. It's right there. And I don't know if you can see the dot. It's where my finger is right here. So you're going to line those red dots up. And then you're going, so they're aligned up. And now you're going to twist this. And it will eventually lock in place, which it did. So the locking itself is not hard to do, but you don't hear a click or a snap. So you can feel that it's locked in. I don't like that, but that's the way it works. And now, as you turn this dial, it actually on the edge of the dial has CPL, it has FL, and it has W/M, which stands for wide angle or macro. And the way it works is you turn the lens to where the one you want, and basically what will happen is you're actually going to pop out the lens. And we'll do that right now. Or we'll try to do that right now. I am fumbling with this because it's got to be exactly in line. There we go. Okay. So the lenses just basically pop out, and you'll notice that they end up in front of the camera. It's a piece of glass that goes over the camera. So you can choose what lens you want, and it's pretty straightforward. There it goes. Now it's clicking. So I'm going to pull out the wide-angle lens right now, and it just pulls out, and it locks, actually physically locks, into a little crevice that's in the case. And now I can take my camera, and I have a wide-angle lens or a macro lens, and I'll show you photographs in a minute. If I don't want to use that lens, I just pull this slightly up, put it back in, and turn it very easily. It locks in place, and now I'll pull out basically another lens, okay? And we'll show you that in a second. Now, on the box itself, you get two boxes. One's with the case, and one is actually with the lens in it. So you can buy a different case and the same lensing, if you will, depending upon what kind of phone you have. And it's nicely packaged, and it says it comes with a 4-in-1 lens, The M is for macro. The fisheye, which will give you a fisheye look, is marked F. The wide angle lens, which gives you a wide angle. And then it says fisheye panorama, which is kind of misleading because it doesn't give you a fisheye panorama. What you essentially do is you're going to pull the FL lens out, which is the fisheye lens, which is what I have now, and you'll take a panorama shot with the fisheye lens around it. So consequently, if you're using a fisheye lens over your normal lens, you will get a fisheye panorama, which actually is pretty cool. So that's how it works, and it's just pretty simple. When you're done with the lens, you just push this down, and you're gonna basically pop it off, and you'll put the case, if you will, back together again. There's no red dot on this, which I find interesting, but you can figure out how to put that back in pretty easy. And that's going to screw in and lock in place, and that's pretty much it. So now my phone's put back together, and away we go. One thing I will mention that I don't like is that when I have this case, if you don't have a protection screen on the iPhone face itself or whatever phone you have, it's exposed and it can damage. There's no cover that comes with this whatsoever. I don't like that. So you want to make sure you have, a glass cover on this or one of those hardened cases so the thing doesn't break. So that's the first issue. Now, the second issue and probably the most important issue is, does it work? Well, the only way we can decide that is by looking at some photos. And the truth of the matter is it does work. But is it worth the money? So we'll take a look at a shot right now. And this is obviously the fisheye shot. And it does make things look like a fisheye. The quality is no better or no worse than what the iPhone would take other than its fisheye. So, it does work. Now, let me go back. And here is another photo that was taken. And this one was with the polarizing lens. The polarizing lens was kind of interesting because it had a little red wheel that you spin, and that will make the a polarizing lens. It will actually make the picture darker and enhance the colors. Now, this is on the internet. It's also on the web right now, and it's being transmitted to you. But this is a little darker in color saturation than the typical iPhone would give you if you're just using the iPhone camera straight up. So that's what the polarizing lens looks like. And now what we're going to do is we'll go back here and we'll take a look at the at the macro lens, which is right here. And let's download that. Okay, and there's the macro shot, and it does a decent job. There's no question about it. It does a decent job, and I'm able to get much closer. This is a cactus, and right now the cactus are blooming in Arizona. It's absolutely spectacular, my favorite time of year. But it does do a very nice job on the macro side of things. It lets you get much closer than just using the camera itself, and it does a nice job. The color's nice, and I can see the needles nice and sharp, and no question about it that it does a nice job. Now, I have one more photo, I believe, here. Let's see if we can get that to download. There we go. This photo is interesting in the sense that this was taken. Let's try it again here. I don't know why it's giving me a blue mask. There we go. This photo was taken just with my iPhone without any lenses or anything. So I think the bottom line for me is this device is not cheap. This is not one of the cheap ones. The camera case for the iPhone 6 is $30, at least on their website, and I'm sure you could find it cheaper other places. And the actual lens kit, if you will, the 4-in-1 lenses, is $100. So you're looking at $130 to get this lensing pack and the case. And I got to tell you, for $130, every single thing that I've showed you, the fisheye, the polarization, the magnification in terms of macro lensing, you can do with an app on your iPhone for a heck of a lot less money. And quality-wise, you would not be able to tell a difference. As a matter of fact, with the apps, it probably costs $2-3. You'll be able to do a lot more and have a lot more variety. So my take on this whole thing is it's not worth the money. Now, as I mentioned earlier, these have a lot of different color choices and faces, probably 30 or 40 different brands out there. Some of them are very expensive, and you would think that the glass lens that is on this enhances significantly the photograph that the camera takes. It's just not so. They have cheap lenses that just stick on the camera itself. No twisting, no case, no nothing. They're just as bad, if not worse, because the glass is actual junk. Keep in mind, a decent camera lens for an SLR camera can cost thousands of dollars. So these are an annoying convenience. That's the only way I can describe them. And if you really want to take those types of photographs, I would go the software route and look at some of the apps, and you're going to get much better results. You're going to get much more functionality, and you're going to get a much bigger bang for the buck. And this is a real pain in the neck to carry around with you. And for $130, you're better off putting another $100 or another $50 to that and buying a digital camera. And that will solve that problem. So I do not recommend these. I do not like them, but I thought I would review it, since I actually was able to pick this up at CES as a test piece. And it's very well made. I just don't feel that it's a great value for the money. So that's that, and that's going to wrap it up for the Gadget Professor. Thank you so much for tuning in. I look forward next week to seeing everybody on episode 200. And I have to tell you right now that both Michael and myself and my daughter, my whole family, we're expecting the arrival of a baby any minute, any day now. So if I'm not on the air next Thursday, you'll know that I have a new baby granddaughter, and I'm very, very, very excited about that. But I may not be in the studio, probably won't be in the studio next week, because Mike's going to be a busy man, and I might be a busy grandpa, so I may record it out of the home studio. But in any event, I will try to see everybody next week. Have a great week, and Margie, get better. See you next week. So long.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain.
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on The Gadget Professor, or would like to appear on The Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.